Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yesterday was brutal for Donald Trump. We got a new CNN poll showing his disapproval on the economy was at its highest point ever in his entire political career. It was up to 70% disapproval of the economy. So the floor that MAGA usually has has been broken through. And now I really don't think anyone's supporting this current economy other than really true believers. Secondly, we got new inflation data that was higher than expectations. And beyond the politics of it all, this hurts the average American so incredibly much. Working Americans are struggling due to a string of decisions that Donald Trump made, including cutting Medicaid, cutting healthcare, placing tariffs on countries, and starting this war. People are really, really struggling. They're deciding whether they want to drive to work or eat breakfast or eat lunch, making sacrifices on a daily basis due to this current economy. So I want to hand it off to you, but I guess I just want to highlight and start off with that clip of Donald Trump yesterday that everybody's seen. It's almost just unbelievable that the president of the United States would say, "I don't think about Americans' financial needs." That is a wild thing to say. The original clip posted by Asen on Twitter has 6.5 million views. This version of it has 4 million views on Twitter. I mean, this probably got 100 million views in the first day of the president of the United States saying this. And that's before every Democratic strategist places it in ads, cuts it up, and sends it around. So what a catastrophic thing for the American people to have a president who doesn't care. And what a catastrophic thing for the Republican Party to have this soundbite now placed onto them. So if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button below if you like our conversations and want to boost them. You could subscribe to both Mike Nellis below and the Adam Mockler feed below. We are pushing and building. Mike, jump in. That was my typo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, number one, he can't even pretend to care about the average American. Like, there's so many politicians in Washington who are completely and totally full of shit when they talk about inflation in the economy and helping improve your life. But he doesn't even care. He can't even, like, be bothered to, like, go, gas prices are high and we're working on it and we're going to figure it out. He actually just lies to people and says gas is actually cheaper. And he's a very effective liar. At least he was an effective liar at one point in his political career. But he's got no juice. And you can't gaslight people into believing that the economy's strong when it's not. And you mentioned how bad the polling was, but there's new polling out this morning. And there's a clip from Harry Enten at CNN talking about this. The five worst polls that any president has ever experienced on inflation, where his numbers are so low on inflation, have come in the last month for Donald Trump. He's less popular than Joe Biden was at the height of the inflationary crisis, which, by the way, that inflationary crisis was for a period of time worse than this one. The difference was Joe Biden didn't cause it. Joe Biden didn't do enough.
It was extrinsic factors.
Right. Well, it was COVID blowback. It was the war in Ukraine started by Russia. This is the first inflationary crisis that I think has been created by an American president, probably since the beginnings of the Great Depression, right? So it's just an absolute disaster. And this guy doesn't care. And meanwhile, every day he gifts the Democratic Party a free campaign ad by opening his mouth. When you say you don't care, that's the number one thing the American people want you to be able to project to them, that you actually care. All the ideological conversations we have on our show and on CNN elsewhere, the average American doesn't care about them as much. They just want to know that you give a shit about them and you're trying to fix and solve their problems. But it's also his surrogates on TV, like that Kevin Hassett guy over the weekend on all these Sunday shows was like, it's the golden age of America. The American people are feeling it. They know. And it's just so bad. And they've got nobody good to go out there and sell this. And there's nothing good to sell. So now the one problem is, and this ties into the primaries we saw yesterday, because there's a few folks in the comments mentioning that Nebraska's incumbent Secretary of State lost to a Trump crazy person that wants to, like, get rid of mail-in voting and believes that the election was stolen. And that's really scary for my home state of Nebraska. But there's a new poll that has Thomas Massie losing in his primary that is solely funded by Donald Trump and his donors to kick Massie out because he's fighting him over the Epstein files. And here's the thing. 70% of Americans have rallied around the idea that this president sucks and is doing a really bad job and is corrupt. But the other 30%, they are lock solid around this guy and they control the Republican Party. It is a bad situation.
Yep. And dude, the same thing is happening in my home state of Indiana. So yeah. a bunch of senators in Indiana, state senators who voted against the redistricting, they didn't even want to put it up for a vote because they had a backbone. They were like, listen, we don't want to take part in this race to the bottom. Donald Trump put up multiple primary challengers against them. I think it was about a dozen. And a lot of them won. About five of Donald Trump's challengers ended up winning, which is very, very scary. So the incentive structures that are created in the Republican Party right now are to pull the most extreme candidates out. And this is due to the type of primary voting we have. There's probably a different version of primaries we could have that would fix this problem where the most extreme partisan people are chosen by the 10% extremists that are most involved. But I think that the Republican Party is rapidly crashing out and falling, and the Democrats have a chance to run an anti-corruption campaign. This is a stage five crash out from people like Kash Patel. Yeah. If anybody in any job field would have given the performance that Kash Patel gave in front of Congress yesterday, in front of the Senate, they would be fired from their job and no one would second guess it. If any of the people that that would contract for me, that work for you, if any of the people that worked at my old jobs acted in this manner, they would be fired. And the worrisome part is people across the entire administration are like this. Pam Bondi gave a similar performance before she got fired. Kristi Noem gave a similarly combative performance. Kash Patel, Pete Hegseth. I think Kash's was maybe the most distilled form of just not smooth combativeness. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a way to be combative where it's a little bit charming at times, but Kash Patel had none of that. It was just grating. It was awful. And he was trying to attack Senator Van Hollen for asking legitimate questions about Kash Patel's alleged alcohol abuse. The fact that he's been using, according to reports, our FBI jets and resources to fly his girlfriend around the country, to use security for his girlfriend, to use our Secret Service's Ubers. He's been unreachable because he's so drunk night after night after night. This is an embarrassment to Donald Trump. And I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to clean house with the likes of Kash Patel, with the likes of Tulsi Gabbard. I've heard that she has until the midterm.
Until the end of the year, yeah.
Until the end of the year, yep, yep. And I mean, he's being embarrassed by a cabinet of people who are incredibly incompetent and unprofessional. And it's coming in a top-down manner. Trump, for some reason, is able to get away with stuff in politics that no other politicians get away with. We know this. It's just known. But when it comes to the people around him, they're still held to the normal standards. Kash Patel doesn't have the old man aura energy that Trump has to be able to just steamroll through interviews and then go on to the next one shamelessly. These people are slimy, unprofessional snakes need to get out of our government.
Yeah, well, and they're led by a slimy, unprofessional snake who needs to get out of our government. Let's just start there. I mean, yesterday, Donald Trump got the FDA director to resign, and he resigned via a text message to Donald Trump, which then Donald Trump posted on Truth Social to announce it. And the text message is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. It was like, "Dear Mr. President, you have been such a phenomenal president. Joe Biden was so bad. We've accomplished so much, and I tender my resignation for no reason." And the reason he's being kicked out is because he didn't move fast enough to approve flavored vapes. And Donald Trump was obsessed with that, I assume because there's some kind of grift at the other end of it, but also because I think that they're watching their numbers with young men like you, Adam, absolutely plummet right now. And so they're doing all of these really stupid little things, not little things, because some of them are important, but they're trying to pander to young men right now in the hopes that they can restore their numbers. So they're doing flavored vapes and reclassifying marijuana and talking about psychedelics. So they're kind of, in certain ways, the flavored vape thing, set that aside, but on marijuana and psychedelics, it's the right thing, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. And it isn't going to work, because what do young men, just like everybody else in this country, want? They want a good paying job. They want to be able to buy a house. They don't want $6 for gas, and they don't want to go fight in another stupid forever war in the Middle East. And I want to go back to a second on something you said about Indiana, because I think it's important. Like right now, every state in the South is gerrymandering the shit out of their states to eliminate Black members of Congress out. And there are two states that didn't do that, or at least are not doing it as severe as some of the other states have done, which would be like, you know, South Carolina is keeping Jim Clyburn's seat. I think Louisiana is gerrymandering one seat out, but keeping the other one. And there's now talk, if you just check the chatter amongst the MAGA diehards on X and Truth Social and Rumble, they're talking about primarying all these legislators in South Carolina for not getting rid of Jim Clyburn, who is a fucking icon in South Carolina. Like, even people who are not Democrats respect Jim Clyburn for all the work that he has done. So it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I want to add one more scary layer on top of it before I hand it back to you, because I have a video coming out on my YouTube page later today that I hope people take a look at because it's important. But and make sure that you subscribe to both me and Adam on Substack, YouTube, everywhere, because we're working hard to build independent media companies that can expose these guys. And frankly, also just build communities to keep people together, because I know how lonely and isolated people feel right now. I was at an event for Peggy Flanagan the other day, who's a Senate candidate in Minnesota, who I think is phenomenal. And there was somebody there who was just like in tears about how lonely she feels. She feels like the country's abandoned her. And I'm like, hey, the country's with you. All right. We're all trapped in this situation, but it's tough. So, but Nick Fuentes went on Steven Crowder's show yesterday and detailed why he's telling his supporters to vote for Democrat. And that's become a new kind of like trolley thing for Republicans. But Nick Fuentes is a Democrat now. But what he's trying to do is he sees all the breaks and he wants the Republican Party to fall apart so that he can turn it into his image. And what scares me is that Trump has this full control of the Republican Party. They're going to lose these midterms. Right now, they're on track to lose the presidential election in 28, as long as Democrats don't nominate a bad candidate. And then it's a full jump ball for the future of the Republican Party. And now we know how easy it is to get these legislators and these MAGA influencers all on the payroll, all on the just all in doing whatever Donald Trump wants. What happens when it's somebody like Nick Fuentes who's in charge? Because Trump is not the bottom. Fuentes is a neo-Nazi, he's a white supremacist, he's an actual anti-Semite. He's a very bad human being. And I'm worried that this is going to continue to get worse. And if Democrats aren't prepared to do what they need to do to deliver for the American people after the midterms and after the presidential election, we're going to end up with like a much worse version of Donald Trump. And I'm old enough, you're too young, so you don't remember, but George W. Bush was a really bad fucking president. And it was really awful time to be in this country. And I thought that was the bottom when I was your age out there protesting the Iraq war and working for Barack Obama. Now it's 20 years later. People think Trump is the bottom. I'm trying to be mindful of this. I don't think we've reached the bottom of where we are right now. I think there are worse things that can come if the Democratic Party is not prepared to do what it has to do, while the Republican Party is gerrymandering the shit out of the whole country and making it harder for us to win elections.
Yeah, I want to go back to the flavored vapes for one second.
Yeah, please do.
I didn't realize, wait a minute. If this administration is letting flavored vapes, I may be able to ignore the massive election denialism. I may be able to ignore the cutting of health insurance of tens of millions of Americans. I may be able to ignore the massive tariffs on every country except for Russia and North Korea. On that matter, I may be able to ignore the fact that our president is very clearly loving, in love with Vladimir Putin and the authoritarians across the globe, but doesn't actually care about democracy. I may be able to ignore all that for flavored vapes. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. I don't give a shit about flavored vapes.
I saw a tweet yesterday or the other day that was like, I don't give a shit about flavored vapes, but if Trump could get GTA 6 out, I might vote for him a third time.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
God damn, I mean, that's a good tweet.
It keeps getting delayed and delayed. But I mean, with flavored vapes, the interesting part is, you know, when it got banned was during Trump's first term. I remember this because when I was about to turn 18, I was excited to finally be able to hit those 18-year-old vape stores, right? Like, you have to be 18. Yep. Right when I turn 18, they pass a ban to change it to 21. And then they banned flavored vapes. And I was like, well, yeah, that's another reason Trump is bad. And then January 6th happened. And I was like, wow, okay, now this is next level. But the economy, just returning back to that, it's just absurd that the president of the United States said what he said yesterday. And I don't think he's going to get away with this one. I think that the polls right now show a catastrophe for Donald Trump. And for him to go out in front of people and say he doesn't care about the economy, it kind of does remind me of January 6th and COVID in a sense, because whenever he's under immense stress and pressure and the weight of the world is going down on him, he starts to push away any rational actors, push away any reality tests or walls, and opts for the craziest thing possible. Let's take COVID. He pushed away Dr. Anthony Fauci, didn't listen to him, and was talking about injecting bleach. Let's take January 6th and the 2020 election. He pushed away Mike Pence and the people around him who are smart, and he embraced Rudy effing Giuliani. So nowadays, it seems like he's not really, we know that he has no reality tests around him. The same thing with the tariffs, but this is next level. The idea that the president is ignoring the inflation spiking, unemployment up since he took office, consumer confidence at the lowest point in 15 years, farm bankruptcies are up 46% since Donald Trump took office, Spirit Airlines just went bankrupt due to these gas and oil prices, overall bankruptcies are at their highest point since the 2008 crisis. Over and over, we get economic indicator after economic indicator slapping our country around, and Donald Trump says he doesn't even care. He doesn't care. He doesn't think about the financial status of Americans because he's thinking about Iran having nukes. Well, guess what? Iran is not significantly farther away from having nukes than they were 1 year ago or even 2 years ago. The enriched uranium is still in Iran. It's just buried under rubble. They can get it. The scientists are scattered across the country. Many are still alive. Most of the blueprints are up in the cloud, so they can just download the blueprints, rebuild the facilities, gather the scientists, and then recreate nukes. We're not that far away if they wanted to. Donald Trump hasn't made that much progress, and Iran actually has more control of the strait, more control of the region than they did 3 months ago when this war started, roughly. So it's all sickening. It's all disturbing. And I'm so glad that we're here to call it out.
Well, and the news today isn't any better, right? Like PPI inflation is at 6%. They expected it to be at 4.8, which, by the way, the expectation that it was 4.8 is ridiculous in and of itself. And they underrepresented it because it ended up being 6. So like the American people, in every possible way, are just getting royally screwed in this economy. Yeah. And Donald Trump cannot face reality. I question whether or not his advisors are even giving him accurate data at this point, because the emperor has no clothes. And I'm not even entirely sure that he's running this administration because he's such an old, demented man. And I'm sure you saw, and our mutual friend Harry Sisson stayed up all night to document this, but all of Trump's crazy tweets, not last night, but the night before. He's unwell. And you look at these White House press conferences that they have where they drag him out like Weekend at Bernie's and he can't keep his eyes open. And honestly, like, it's mostly because he's an old man, but it's also because he's up all night just tweeting and eating filet of fishes. Like, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Like, it's just, it's bad habits too, on some level, that I think as younger men, I won't say I'm a young man, but younger men like you and I should take care of ourselves to make sure that we don't turn up like him. Or you mentioned Giuliani earlier, like, you know, I remember prime Giuliani. Like, I remember 9/11. I remember that guy keeping the country together. I remember him running in 2007, 2008 as a moderate Republican and trying to be the future of the party. And it didn't work out for him. And now look what he's become. Like, he's just an absolute joke. And I'm sure that he's always probably on some level been like that. But too much drinking, too much smoking, too much staying out late. Yeah, take care of yourself.
Now he's like melting on stage while spreading election fraud theories and
or scheduling press conferences at landscaping companies because he's too stupid to check. It's just like bad.
What a fall.
Right now, Rudy Giuliani is not dead. He is in fact alive. I think he may be close to death. I don't know whose Horcrux he is, but like, you know, he's one of Trump's Horcruxes. I don't know. But it's
thoughts
just
and prayers,
thoughts and prayers.
As they say, thoughts and prayers. Yeah. But okay, so I really want to highlight the PPI that you just cited, because I saved this tweet earlier. Someone said, wow, oh man, U.S. April producer price rises 6% year over year.
Yep.
The estimate was 4.8%. This is a massive miss in the sense that we keep getting inflation numbers or price numbers that come in way higher than the estimate over and over and over. And this goes in stark contrast to what Donald Trump has been pushing for with the Federal Reserve over the past few years. Mm-hmm. He's been rather explicit, very explicit, that he wants lower rates, calling him too late Jerome Powell. Yet he's creating an economic environment in which rates will likely have to be raised. If Trump got what he wanted, we would turn into a country like Venezuela, where the president is in control of the monetary policy, and it causes hyperinflation because they're not actually keeping a steady hand. There's a reason. There's a reason there's independence in our branches. There's a reason why the Federal Reserve has its board of, 10 people, and the president doesn't have control over that board, because the president would make short-term decisions to get reelected that would long-term screw over the American people. It's important that we have a steady, stable economy. You know, this brings me back around to the fact that everybody around Donald Trump is just so embarrassing, seems to be embarrassing him, but he chose them. He chose this life. I just can't believe we have MAGA Pete Hegseth giving these pressers about the war, basically hiding the fact, trying to desperately hide the fact that we are grinding to a halt and a stalemate and a quagmire. Yes, a quagmire in this war. We have Kash Patel giving performances that even my drunkest of college friends would be embarrassed of the next day. And Kash Patel was sober during this. We have reports that Kash Patel can't
We don't know if he was sober during that. Let's be clear about that.
That's fair. That's fair.
He strikes me as the type of guy that makes himself 2 over easy eggs and a bagel in the morning with a shot of whiskey. Like 100%. Like he looks like it, talks like it, acts like it. I've known a ton of guys like that in my life. So
you've known a ton of guys. Okay.
I've never been that guy. I had a different problem. When I was your age, it was like half a bottle of bourbon playing video games in the basement by myself. That was a different issue. I've cut that out.
No, I mean, most early 20 years old, I mean, smoke a lot of weed, drink a bit. It's very, very normal. It's actually, you know, part of the early experience. I like when people in chat always say no sound when there's like 1,000 people watching. Like, I think it's just you that has no sound.
Yeah, Greg, buddy, we love you, man. But I think, I mean, if everybody else, if you can't hear us, like, let us know. But I think people can hear.
But to continue, Trump's economy is so bad that people can't even have sound anymore.
Right. Very, very no bad. Sound. Before me, there was no sound. Now there's sound. I said, let there be sound. Anyway.
For real. But it's bad. These numbers that are coming out are very, very awful.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to really highlight how the midterms are going to come fast. We need to all turn out and vote. Listen.
But before we do that, can I add one thing on the economic numbers? Because, and I say this to somebody, like I went back to school, I got my MBA, like I track a fair amount of the economy. I do a fair amount of investing on the side too, to like try to build a nice little nest egg for me and my family. Is like every single number that you dive into in every report that I read, it's almost always followed with like yada, yada, yada stat, the worst since X. And it's like the worst since the Great Recession, it's the worst since the Great Depression, or it's the worst ever. Like every statistic is like the worst ever. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, the number of people who are trying to sell their house and there are no buyers throughout the country is staggering, the gap between the two, because people aren't buying. The number of people who are on the verge of foreclosing on their mortgages is and their houses is just absolutely crazy. It's in some ways we're sitting and teetering on the edge of a situation that is worse than what we experienced in 2008. And again, you're too young to remember, but I had Mallory McMorrow on my show yesterday, and we're going to post that video later today on Substack. And she was talking about how like she went to college, got her degree, was so excited to enter the field. She was going to be a car designer in Michigan. That was like her dream. And she entered a job market where all those jobs were gone because the auto industry has collapsed. And so for young men and young women all across this country right now who have done everything right, got good grades in high school, went to school, took it seriously, or getting their degrees from institutions, coming out with $200,000 of student loan debt, they're going to be royally screwed even more. And on top of that, even if you manage to get a job, you still can't afford to buy a house. And this president's sitting around putting money in his back pocket, talking about the ballroom and redoing the pool and throwing a UFC fight for himself. Like, I don't know how there aren't like crowds of people in front of the White House every day with pitchforks and torches. Like, by the restraint of God, are people not trying to tear down the White House fence right now? I'm not calling for that, to be clear, for later when somebody grabs this and claims I'm being violent. But like, we're getting pretty close to pitchfork territory, it feels like. Like, the emperor has no clothes.
I mean, that is what happens when there is social unrest. And right now, with a president who says actively that he doesn't think about the people, that leads to social unrest. The type of rhetoric this guy uses leads to this type of social unrest. I guess I just want to end it off with this. We do have a midterms rapidly approaching. And despite all of the shenanigans from Republicans, I still remain very optimistic. I still think that a bunch of like-minded people across the country, people like you and I, people like the people listening to this feed right now, and the audiences that we're building, we are going to mobilize and we are going to push the country in a better direction, and it will feel amazing. I know for a fact that we can have such a successful midterms that we then have, you know, more investigations, oversight committees. Congress has the power to launch all of these different investigations. Nick Fuentes was actually making this argument on Stephen Crowder's show. I saw a clip and he was like, I want Democrats to be in Congress to hold Republicans accountable. And then again, it's for a cynical reason. He wants to reshape the party in his own image. But we currently have 1,500 people watching this live stream. I love each and every single one of you. Make sure you're subscribed to both Mike Nellis and I on Substack. And we'll be posting this on YouTube after. Just know that if all of us, like-minded individuals who love democracy, who love human dignity and decency, push the country in our own direction, the direction that we want, we can make a massive change. Yes. It's sort of like a pendulum. And yes, people were angsty and uncertain and they had a lot of anxiety under the end of Biden's era. So the pendulum kind of swung back to Trump in a rather radical way. It's what happened, of course. But it's going to swing back, and hopefully we can swing it back to a human decency and dignity sort of vibe. So
yeah,
Mike, if there's any closing thoughts you have, I just want to say thank you all and make sure you're subscribed.
I just have one final thought, which is don't let the bastards grind you down. That way that they make you feel that it's hopeless, that you're alone, that you're isolated, that we can't overcome this moment in time that we're in. That's how they want you to feel. And that's what I try to remember on those days where it's hard for me to show up to work or get out of bed or be a dad or be a content creator or be a husband, whatever it is. They want you to quit. Don't quit. Keep showing up. Let's make sure that there is a wave that is too big for them to rig. There was a poll yesterday from an A-plus pollster. Democrats have a 15% lead on the generic ballot. No amount of gerrymandering can save them from what's coming in November. I know it's been a rough week, but we can beat these bastards. Let's fucking go, buddy.
Let's do it. I'm very hyped. You can become a free or paid subscriber below to help support our teams. Let's fucking do it. Let's push. Let's build a better country.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again Saturday at 10 a.m. Thank you.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.